If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Today we find ourselves at the intersection of faith, loss, and an investigation that has left more questions than answers. It was an otherwise ordinary Friday afternoon in Horry County, South Carolina, when the calm was shattered by the presence of over 24 FBI agents at the home of Pastor John Paul J.P. Miller. The agents, clad in gloves and evidence response team uniforms, moved with precision and purpose, gathering boxes, a computer screen, and a hard drive from the property. The scene was a jolt to neighbors who had grown accustomed to the quiet presence of the former religious leader. But what brought the FBI to this doorstep? The details surrounding the raid remain shrouded in mystery, with authorities confirming only that they were executing a court-authorized law enforcement activity. Miller's attorney, Russell Long, attempted to downplay the significance of the event, telling reporters that it was nothing new, and expressing hope that this would bring the investigation to a close. Yet, as we all know, when the FBI gets involved, it usually signals that there's more beneath the surface than meets the eye. But before we dive into speculation, let's set the record straight. Local authorities have emphasized that the FBI's investigation is a parallel one, separate from the inquiry into Micah Miller's death. Micah, just 30 years old, died in April from a self-inflicted gunshot wound at North Carolina's Lumber River State Park. Her death was ruled a suicide, and the Robeson County Sheriff's Office has repeatedly stated that there is no evidence linking John Paul Miller to her tragic passing. This has been a point of contention for Micah's family and friends, who have long harbored doubts about the official findings. Micah's loved ones describe a woman on the brink of transformation. She had filed for separate support and maintenance, a form of legal separation, just over a week before her death, signaling her intention to start anew. Her friend Tom Carter shared how Micah had been making plans for a future that never came. The family's suspicions have been further fueled by Micah's sister, who recalled Micah's chilling warning, "If I wind up dead with a bullet in my head, my husband would be the culprit." These words have haunted those close to Micah, casting a long shadow over the investigation. At the same time, John Paul Miller has firmly denied any wrongdoing. In an April sermon delivered to his congregation at Solid Rock Church, he spoke of Micah's mental health struggles and the difficulty of accessing the medication she needed. He urged his followers not to discuss the matter further, framing the tragedy as a deeply personal and painful loss. In media interviews, he has pushed back against accusations, even going so far as to call his critics the biggest idiots on planet Earth. According to John Paul, he was the only one who tried to help Micah, insisting he took better care of her than any man could have. But the narrative becomes more complex when we consider the allegations Micah's family has made about her relationship with John Paul. They've painted a picture of a marriage fraught with control, detailing instances where Micah reportedly felt followed and surveilled. They also allege that John Paul made moves to transfer the deed of their home out of her name while she was hospitalized for mental health treatment. During these difficult times, Micah's family claims she felt isolated and afraid, yet determined to take control of her life. And then there's the detail that makes this story even more difficult to reconcile: John Paul's admission of posting a topless photo of Micah online in an act of retaliation. He has since expressed deep regret, calling the action evil and driven by pain, but it's one of those facts that leaves a mark, a blemish on an already complex portrait. It's an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, though it doesn't necessarily offer any clarity about the questions that still linger. All of this has led to a significant divide within the community. Meanwhile, the Justice for Micah movement has gained momentum, with demonstrators gathering outside the church and demanding more answers. Despite law enforcement's insistence that the evidence supports a suicide ruling, the community remains split, each side armed with their own set of beliefs and unanswered questions. And then there's the parallel investigation. While local authorities have repeatedly stressed that the FBI's search is not directly related to Micah's death, the timing and secrecy have left room for speculation. What could the agents be searching for? Is it possible that this investigation has to do with unrelated criminal activity? Or could there be a connection we've yet to understand? And it's hard not to feel the weight of this case, isn't it? The FBI raid alone raises so many questions, and yet the details we're working with remain as elusive as ever. Here we are watching a federal investigation play out in real time, but with no clear understanding of what they're after. The phrase parallel investigation has been thrown around, but it's worth pausing to consider what that really means. If the authorities are adamant that this has nothing to do with Micah's death, then what else could be unfolding behind the scenes? What stands out to me is how the narrative of control and abuse presented by Micah's family collides so sharply with John Paul's public defense. We have Micah's sister's chilling recollection of her warning, "If I wind up dead with a bullet in my head, my husband would be the culprit." It's a statement that feels impossible to dismiss. Yet local authorities maintain that no direct evidence links John Paul to her passing. How do you reconcile such a deeply emotional personal warning with the hard facts presented in a medical examiner's report? From a psychological perspective, there's so much at play. Think about the stress and mental toll of living under suspicion, both for John Paul, who vehemently denies any wrongdoing, and for Micah's family, who are still trying to process their loss while feeling that justice has yet to be served. It's easy to see how both sides feel trapped in a narrative that leaves little room for healing or understanding. The truth, if it is ever fully revealed, could change everything or nothing at all. And then there's the community impact. A congregation divided, a movement demanding justice, and the constant tension between faith and fact. How does a community move forward when so many are invested in different outcomes? The emotional and social cost is undeniable, and yet the questions remain. Why was the FBI raid necessary, and will it yield anything that sheds new light on Mike Oz's death, even if indirectly? We also can't ignore the optics of John Paul's own actions, like the admission of posting that photo online. It doesn't prove guilt, but it does highlight a moment of volatility, a flash of behavior that doesn't align with the narrative of a supportive husband. In cases like this, every action, every word becomes a puzzle piece. The question is, how do they all fit together? That's all for now. We'll keep digging and getting you the facts.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.